November 1968, I was discharged from the service. I met my wife, Cheryl, April 11th, 1969, we were married. With that, we had no car, we had no place to live. But we had to get that ourselves because Dad and Mom was not going to do it. It's something Donnie touched on here a while back, I think we all know. Because houses, homes are in disarray today, even among the people in the Lord's church. They don't teach their children what they need to be taught according to the Word. The world keeps getting worse. They're trying to do away with religion, trying to do away with truth. It's something that we've got to fight. When you look back, 2 Corinthians 12, Paul, concerning the thorn that he had in the flesh, he made a request of God. And God said, my grace is sufficient. God could relieve the thorn, he could take it away, but that wouldn't help Paul none. But Paul learned to live with that disability. And so it is today that we're young, we don't have much, but we find a way to make a living, to support our family, to teach our family. Many times we do things that appear to be a good thing or make us feel better about ourselves without realizing that we are actually doing more harm than good. How does one know that they are making the right decisions when helping another? Are they truly helping them, or are we actually enabling them a negative behavior that will snowball into a bigger issue later in life? Are we doing something through our actions that is displeasing to God? And we are when we are not bringing up our children as God has directed us in the Bible. That is displeasing to God. It's happened, like I say, it's happening in the Lord's church. As you see, young people who have obeyed the gospel quit coming for whatever reason. They've given it up. Examples we can give, a teenager who goes to jail for acting foolish and is quickly bailed out by the parents only to become more reckless the next time. He got by scot-free. Somebody else paid the price for that. The friend that returned home to live with their parents after college until they can find a job, which becomes the 30-year-old that can't leave the nest and won't take a job that they feel is beneath them. We've not taught them. We've not put them on their own to make their own living. And parents, we're at fault if we've not done that with our children. The drug or alcohol abuser that asks for money only to use it to buy drugs or alcohol. The person who does not manage money well, that is constantly bailed out and continues to covet material possessions. And you can make a longer list as it goes on. We're going to look at two words and the meaning of these words. Enabling means helping, doing something for someone else that they're not capable of doing for themselves. Well, they're capable of doing it, you're just doing it for them. So that's enabling someone. Well, I've got that helping is doing something for someone that they're not capable of doing for themselves, or maybe a disability or something. Enabling is doing things for someone else that can do and should do for themselves. Webster defines or states, enabling is making something possible or creating the means to carry on a behavior. Helping can involve doing things for someone that they're not capable of doing for themselves. With us, you make a long list of people that cannot care for themselves, that we should be responsible for, that we help them. But we don't help the person that can do the job themselves but won't do it. We do not touch that type of person. Enabling would be creating an environment in which a negative or destructive behavior is allowed to continue. Helping would be creating an environment in which negative or destructive behavior is prevented and sacrifice and suffering is allowed to continue. And so it was with the Apostle Paul. God allowed that behavior, the suffering, to continue with Paul, his thorn in the flesh. And Paul accepted that. How can one truly be helpful for one who struggles? In Romans chapter 5, verses 2 through 4, Paul there says, through him we have obtained access by faith into the grace in which we stand, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. It's Christians are going to suffer. And we might as well to accept that we're going to suffer in this life. We're going to be abused or whatever in this life. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. In James 1, verses 2 through 4, James there says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." And from these two verses, we see that suffering makes us strong and trains us to defend our faith. The suffering we endure makes us stronger in our faith, and this is a gift from God. Would God approve of enabling in the context in which we're using it? No. We can see that suffering and sacrifice produces endurance, which makes one stronger in their faith. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 12 through 13. But with the temptation also makes a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. God will provide a way out of any situation following His word. We must discover the solution to our problems that follows God's word. If we do not allow others to do so, then we stunt our spiritual growth, and this is displeasing to God. We should look to walk beside others through their journey of suffering and sacrifice. We should offer encouragement with each step. We should teach others the truth, not only through instruction, but through our actions. We cannot do this without exhibiting enabling behaviors. There's no way if we exhibit an enabling behavior that we can help anyone. By doing so, we weaken other spiritual growth. God wants us to be strong in our faith, glorify Him. Happiness comes from maturing in our faith through the struggles and sacrifices we make in this life. And this is the happiness that God wants. If you're here tonight and you've not obeyed the gospel, God has given you another chance to take care of those sins. If you're here and you've not obeyed and you still have sins in your life, you have the opportunity to take care of that tonight. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're willing to repent of your sins, make that good confession that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and then be buried in baptism, where we contact the blood, according to Paul in Romans chapter 6. If you've done that, but you've fallen away, He's giving you another opportunity to make things right with you. The blood's always there. The blood will be there to the end of this world. That blood will continue to give forgiveness for as long. If we commit 1,000 sins, we receive forgiveness through that blood. It's always there. But we need to take advantage of it and opportunity of it while we're alive. Because when death comes, that's it. Subject to the gospel call, we invite you to come at this time.